All right. Hopefully you got a chance to share your favorite candy. I thought something to switch our brains a little bit, right? To something a little bit lighthearted. Anybody want to shout out their favorite candy?
Twix.
All right. Reese's. Sounds like a favorite. Okay. We got a lot of chocolate fans here. I see that. Nobody's like nerds? Gummies? Sour Patch gummies. Yeah, right. Good. So yeah, so I mean, I hope you're ready. You know, this is a great opportunity, Halloween, right? A great opportunity in our neighborhoods to actually share of ourselves with our kids and families that are local. It's always amazing to Tony and I, like, that the kids that come around, whether it's Angie's friends or people in the neighborhood that come through, that we get the opportunity to interact and mingle with people who normally wouldn't probably come to your door and ask you for something, right? So that's a great way to do it. And honestly, we're ready. We've got the chocolate and the sugar options ready, right? Like, we've got both of those ready to go. Well, today we are here and we're talking about what are we pursuing? What are we pursuing? This has been our series. We're in pursuit of something, right? What is that? And obviously, our answer is, because we're Kairos Church, life with Jesus, community, and purpose. But we remember that our strongest desires are not our deepest desires. That's from John Mark Comer. Because our strongest desires are not our deepest desires, we look to God's word to show us what we are to pursue, right? Godly desires that he has placed in us and that he wants to form in us as well, within us, deeply within us. So as you're able, can we stand for the reading of God's word together? And these are right in your bulletin, but they will be on the screen as well, I believe. And it's our key verses for this series. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12 in the New Living Translation. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith, he says. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which he has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And then 2 Timothy 2:22, another charge to Timothy. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And this week, I put that in ESV because it says the word faith. In the NLT, it says faithfulness. And I bring that to mind because sometimes we need to look at what beyond what that word is in our scripture, right? All right, so this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, and you guys can have a seat. I'm going to pray. Father, you desire for us to be like your son, Jesus. I'm just reminded even now, like being led in worship with Crystal. God, just the truths that were just sung over us. I felt in my spirit, we could have just sang those songs and walked out of here. Those were the reminders that we put our trust in you, God. That your foundation when we have you as our foundation, we cannot be shaken. Lord, and so we ask you, as we learn from his example, as we learn to live out the kingdom life today, as we learn to anticipate the fullness of Christ when he comes, Lord, free us from distraction, inspire us by your Holy Spirit, move us toward you, one step and one moment at a time. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So almost 2 weeks ago at this point, the Metropolitan District, that's the district that we're part of in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we gathered together as a bunch of churches for our annual district conference. It's always a time of refreshment. I was glad that I had the opportunity to invite a couple of our key leaders to come for evening sessions, and it was great to be together. I think that inspired us and refreshed us. But I bring it up because the theme for that was everything we need. And it comes from 2 Peter 1:3.
And I'm going to bring this up and you'll see why. The verse in NLT says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And I knew that I was going to have to preach on godliness and faith, right? And I was like, okay. I'm sitting there like, this is amazing, God. You're telling us we have everything we need in Jesus. That's it. That's all I got to say, right? Same thing. Just worship, just that verse. But that's not enough. Because I know in our lives, other pursuits get in our way. Other things distract us. I think of the words of Reverend Betty Morejon, who spoke to us about that passage. And what she said about the fact that Peter writing this letter, right? Peter, the guy who did all sorts of things, crazy, bold things for Jesus, and then crazy denials of Jesus, right? If he's writing this letter in Peter, he's saying these words as he really believes this is true for him. And she asked the question, is it hard to believe that Jesus can actually meet our need? She had a lot of great points, but that was the one that I keep coming back to. So we'll come back to this passage later. You see it in your bulletin if you were looking at the notes side. But I think that question that I just asked, is it hard to believe that Jesus can actually meet our need? I think that question can frame our human pursuits, right? That's what we go after. It's what we need. It's what we desire that we go after in our human pursuit. And the reason why we don't pursue the things that God has purposed for us. So our needs and God's desires. So today we're looking at our desire, and you can put this in your bulletin, desire to be perfect. Some of you are saying, I don't want to be perfect, Pastor Lisa. Okay, hold on. This is the extreme of what the human pursuit is, though, right? Desire to be perfect. Can you see, though, that the perspective that the world is offering you is different? Can you see that they offer you the perfect look? Can you see that they offer you the perfect dress size or the perfect car or the perfect home or the perfect family or the perfect video or the perfect musical interpretation? I'm just thinking about, there's always an ideal. There is always this idea being put forward that we need to be perfect, that there's something that is beyond us. So maybe it's not perfection for you. Maybe you, just like I did, went through that pandemic and you realize, like, you heard enough from the world and it's like, nah, it's not really about perfection. You know, maybe the pursuit is progress for you. It's not just perfection. Maybe it's progress, not perfection. So that's the human pursuit we're going to look at today. The human pursuit would be progress in my mind. And I think the pandemic did do that to us. It kind of gave us comfort. We stayed home. I know it was scary and sad, and we're still grieving some of that, of course. But I think you need to remember that progress became this goal. Like, okay, if I'm just a little bit better today, then I'm doing it. I think we've bought into this human desire of progress rather than perfection. And I'm going to say a word about that mantra in a moment. But first, I want to make sure you guys understand, God's desire for us is not progress. God's desire for us is not progress. It's not perfection either. He does not desire that for us. Okay? The godly pursuit, though, that the passage in Timothy says, is godliness and faith. Can you please note that? Today we're talking about godliness and faith. Proverbs 15:9, it tells us, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue godliness. See, Timothy, he's leading this charge in Ephesus, right? Like, he's the pastor there. And there are false teachers, and they're spreading all sorts of lies about the gospel. This is not the gospel, is what Paul is saying to Timothy here. He challenges him, run from the falsehood, run from the lies, the evil that is found in those pursuits, whether it's money or whether it's just, you know, anything else that gets in the way. And he says, you have to pursue these things, righteousness, godliness, and faith. And we're going to stick to the godliness and faith today. But first, I want to say a word about progress, not perfection. I don't want to come off sounding like that's a bad thing. That's not an evil concept. It's not. It's actually really helpful if you're trying to achieve goals, right? You can actually accomplish progress if you're trying to head towards goals. Alcoholics Anonymous, they put it this way. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. We claim spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. Spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. That's a really good way of looking at getting sober. If we tried in our strength, or even in the higher power strength, as they say it, if we tried to demand perfection of ourselves in sobriety, I don't think I need to finish that sentence. I think you'd resign yourself to defeat over and over again. And so in this way, progress over perfection is a perfectly fine and good thing. So I think about a less life-threatening example, right? When I think about working out, it's better for me to say, hey, Lisa, you can get up at least one time this week and work out, right? Or if I don't want to eat sugar, I can say one day I'm going to set aside all that sugar and then build up. So it's not evil. It's not bad, progress, not perfection. I think what I want to caution against is this idea that if we keep making progress towards those goals, that somehow that means we're going to pursue godliness and faith, right? Those two things can't be in the same place. We're not achieving progress or perfection towards godliness and faith unless we're going after it. And so that's the only caution. See, progress is not God's end game. He is already making all things new in Jesus. Perfection is not even God's end game. It's not. He already is perfect. He shared that perfection with humanity in Jesus. So God's end game is not that. See, I think a healed creation restored unto himself, a healed communion restored between his children and himself, a healed world restored unto himself. That's the glory of God. Why else would we be charged with being formed into Christ himself? Why wouldn't God just say, hey, Jesus did it. It's done. Boom. World redeemed. Check. Done. See, God desires for us to willingly come to him, to see and to behold him and to be reconciled to him. There is a part that we play in this choice, friends, because there was and there still is a part that humanity is playing in undoing his good work. I don't think there's anything wrong with progress over perfection. I just see it as a distraction from the pursuit of godliness and faith. I believe our human pursuit keeps us grasping at being God, and this is right in your notes, not being formed into Christ. If we just say it like it's like we mean it, like it is, right? I think we're grasping at being God and not being formed into Christ. So let's look at these two pursuits, godliness and faith. Godliness is translated from the Greek word eusebia. Okay? This word, it means devoutness or piety. Okay? And I think we might have lost the meaning of this word, or we might have it a little bit confused right now. So let me explain. I know some of y'all are Swifties. Are you with me? I know some of you have been a fan for her entire career. I'm sad because Alex James right now is in the other room teaching the kids, but he definitely would respond to this. He's a Swiftie. Don't tell him I told you. All right? But Maybe you liked her only for her later albums. Maybe you're on the bandwagon right now because she started dating Travis Kelce, and that's all over the news. But there is a level of devoutness. There's a level of devoutness to Swiftum that has been apparent ever since she broke through with her music. This means that ever since you became a Swiftie, you've engaged in following her devoutly. This means you've listened to her music. This means you've watched her videos, sang her songs, read her poetic lines. You've checked out her social media. You've gone to her concert. This is Eusebea unto Taylor. This is Eusebea unto Taylor. So we have to ask ourselves, and this is the question, are we doing this unto God? Or are we doing this unto self or others? Eusebea is actually unto God. If there's two words you hear and you remember after today, after this whole sermon, it's unto God. That you would hear and repeat that in your mind. Is this unto God? Unto God? Unto God? Is my thought, is my heart unto God? As I sing, is it unto God? If we keep progress, not perfection, as our aim, that might help us be less perfectionistic, yes, but it is not a solid shot towards godliness. So we see this term, Eusebea, 15 times in the New Testament, most of which occur in the letters to Timothy. One biblical scholar, he explains the summary of these uses of Eusebea this way, and this is a lot, so hold on, and I talk fast, so I'm going to slow down. Eusebea involves persecution. Eusebea has great reward. Eusebea demands proper doctrine. Jesus Christ is crucial to Eusebea. True doctrine practices Eusebea. Eusebea is more than outward conformity. Eusebea has an inner spiritual reality. Eusebea, it demands hard work and commitment. And this I love. God's grace directs men, people, in Eusebea. Friends, Eusebea, it exhorts the Christian community to devote itself to God in every sphere of life so that both beliefs and behaviors are centered in him, unto God. Unto God. It's all this. That's a lot. So how do we ingest this in a way that we can move forward through? I believe one key practice that happens when we want to pursue godliness, it comes when we behold God in our day-to-day. See, when we look at God's characteristics, I love that Bosco mentioned the weather and creation, right? When we behold God in all these ways that he's given us, we can stay focused on him. It doesn't become about us. It's about his sufficiency, as Crystal said in that verse at the beginning of our call to worship. It's his strength. It's his character. It's his attributes that we can look at and say, yes, that was God right there. And then it makes us want to do things unto him, right? It makes us want to say, oh, God, you are good. You are holy. Godliness is not going to come if we keep reminding ourselves of progress, not perfection, unless the progress is being made toward noticing what God is doing in the present moment or recognizing, and this is the second part of this, recognizing our will is being conformed to his. See, because as we behold him, we can see, oh, I'm partnering with him. I'm with you, God. This is godliness unto God. Godliness is not trying to be like God. I had this like cute little way of thinking about it. I was like, ooh, godliness, you have to take the L-I, that's like a lie. Godliness, I was trying to be all cute about it, right? Here's the thing. We are not God. Godliness is not godness. This is God. We are made in his image, but we're not exactly like him. We're just a little lower than the angels, right? You've read that verse. So though we bear his image, We are not meant to be God. I think you know that, but I'm just refreshing our memories here. This is why we look to Christ, and this is why we can look to Christ. Jesus, the one who saves, sanctifies, heals, and is coming again, is fully God and fully man. And through him, when we abide in Jesus, we can become more like him. Look at what happened to that ragtag bunch of fishermen, right? Look at what happened to a tax collector. Look at what happened to the crowd that it was even around him. Even the fringe, the people on the fringe, even they were being transformed by Jesus, God's own son. This is how we attain godliness. We abide in Jesus, and he makes us one with the Father. It's not about perfection, because we can't attain that, and it's only about progress unto God, those two words, please remember them, and into being formed by Christ. And one more verse to focus on in godliness. It's in your bulletin. This is from earlier or later in Timothy. But have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body has limited benefit. So working out has limited benefit. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what it means. Training the body has limited benefits, but godliness, it's beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Guys, that's truth. It's not just for now. It's for later. Training ourselves to godliness also, it looks like our lives are a praise unto God. And we're going to practice this in a bit. I'm going to move on to faith now. Faith, the word is right there, pistis, right? That's what how we pronounce that, pistis. It's a very widely used word in the Bible, okay? You may have heard that it's the word belief, right? I believe. It's more than that. It's definitely more than that. Even though there's a connection between faith and belief, it's not all that pistis is about. It's participatory, yes, but it's also a conviction, hear this, that is given to us by God. Once again, everything comes from him. Nothing is mustered up in our own strength. So faith comes from God. It's a conviction from God. Biblical scholar Najay Gupta, he shares some of the current scholarship around this word, and I'm spending time on the words because I think it matters. He mentions the work of other scholars and how the word cannot be grasped in just one meaning or explanation. And he kind of created in his mind, the way his scholarship is, he created three categories. That there's believing faith, which has more of a cognitive orientation, obeying faith, which is that allegiance. You guys have, if you came through American schools, you've said, I pledge allegiance to the flag, right? We're pledging allegiance to the king. The kingdom. And so this is one aspect of it. It's called obeying faith, which is close to allegiance, and trusting faith, which is kind of like a kitchen sink use that covers the whole spectrum from belief to obedience. And then he mentions one other way to understand faith, that it's Christ's faithfulness ongoing to us. That it's Christ's ongoing faithfulness to us. It's already, but not yet. And it's a faithfulness that keeps rising and reigning in us when we participate in faith. We have to participate in faith. Faith, it involves belief, but it goes beyond human believing because it involves the personal revelation or the inworking of God. So once again, we have to trust that God is doing it. So I keep bringing it up, but I feel like God and the Holy Spirit ordained this worship this afternoon, the songs. We did not talk. We did not plan this out. But I feel like that idea of trust is so important to faith. Because God is personally revealing and working in us. Faith is always God's work. Our believing has eternal meaning when it becomes faith believing by the transforming grace of God. I know that's a lot of words. Faith, though, what all I'm trying to say is faith is not just us. If we turn our eyes to him, He will work it out. He will give us reasons to trust him further. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Friends, Pastor Jesse talked about this verse, right? He said, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ. This is not just a regular logos word. He said this. I don't know if you were paying attention. He talked about the rhema word of Christ. The rhema word of Christ, that's a living, breathing, prophetic word. The rhema word of God is only from the living God. When that rhema word, when God puts that in you, faith comes. We just went through the Holy Spirit series this summer. Faith is one of those things of the Spirit. I'm just trying to make sure you understand. Faith is not just mustering up the, I trust in you, God. No. The Holy Spirit, it gifts us this, right? The things of the Spirit. Faith is one of them. This is aligning ourselves with and participating in what God is doing. If we are pursuing godliness, translation, living, breathing, moving unto God, right? Godliness, living, breathing, moving unto God and his glory, then faith will come. Because we are conforming. We are being conformed to that ever faithful, living, breathing word of Christ, the rhema word of Christ. We need to be in tune with his words. We need to pledge allegiance to his kingdom, not our own, and definitely not the world's. So, faith and godliness, they don't start with us. But we have an opportunity to partner with what God is doing. We have to see it in action. We have to participate in that, in both of these things. I'm going to land the plane right now, and we're going to practice. I just want to remind you, though. Paul, this powerful preacher, pastor, leader of the church, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5, he's addressing the church at Corinth, and he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If Paul, this powerhouse preacher, pastor, if Paul is going to say to his church that he's pastoring, hey guys, it's my weakness, it's my fear, in my trembling, my speech and my message, they were not words of wisdom that you could believe or not believe, but it was the demonstration of the Spirit. It was a demonstration of God's power. And the reason why is, hey, don't look at me. Look at him. Unto God. Don't look at me. Look at Christ. And that's why we want to be conformed to him. That's why we choose to move unto him. We have to see God at work, friends. We have to see God at work, and we have to declare that this life and this breath is unto God. When other people see that, when other people look and they see, hey, it's not Lisa on display, it's not Irma on display, it's not Philip on display, there's something more here. When they see that you're doing things unto God and unto Christ with faith building and rising and reigning in you, they will ask, who is this? Why? What's going on with you? It's the power of God in us. There are two spiritual disciplines that we are going to practice today. They will help us to know God better, and they will help us to live unto him. This is what we've been doing in this series, giving you some spiritual practices to follow up. And today, it's meditation and praise. Meditation and praise. Friends, we truly have everything we need in Jesus. May we have the courage to seek him. As our response to this message, friends, we're going to take 3 minutes and we're going to focus on the scriptures. You have them, I brought it up with me. You have them at the bottom right on the back of your bulletin. These large font is so that you can cut this off later and you could put it on somewhere you're going to look at it. You're going to spend the next 3 minutes independently right now. And I'm purposely keeping it silent in here. Silence is helpful. You're going to read through these scriptures. You're going to, if you want to, you can write all over it. If you want to write it separately, wherever you want. But you're going to meditate on these scriptures for the next 3 minutes. And then I'm going to come up and we'll lead you in the next as well. Sometimes it just is good to spend moments dwelling on scripture. Right? We do this in our daily walk, but even in the corporate worship service, just to chew on what God is saying to us. Thank you for doing that right now. So friends, we're going to turn to praise now, okay? We're going to turn to praise. And we're going to do this corporately, but not in song just yet. I know Crystal's like ready to be up there. We're going to take just a few minutes, and I'm going to have an open mic right here. You're going to take a minute, just think of one sentence of praise to God that you'd like to share. Not everybody has to. I won't force you to. But this is unto God. And you gathered here for a reason. So take a moment, think of a sentence, one way that you can praise God for what he's done. Whether it was today, this past week, something you know he's walking you through for longer than that, a praise unto him. Just one sentence. And I'll pass the mic off. There we go. No, you don't. You're right. You're right, Lorraine.
God, you are amazing, and I can't live without you walking with me every second of my life.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God for the freedom that we have in Christ, that we can even have this space to worship freely when there are so many brothers and sisters in this world that do not have this kind of space.
Amen.
I praise God for the faithful people he's placed in my life.
I praise God for being at the center of the most loving and moments as our in our family that we communicate with each other and have tough conversations.
Thank God for carrying me when times that I felt like I couldn't go on.
Praise God for his grace that he lavishes upon us even when we fail and pursue other things that are outside of him. So,
amen. Amen. Lauren.
I want to praise God for his confirmation in his word. I think that's worth praising.
Amen.
Lord, I praise you for giving me your love. When all I have to do is give you my weakness.
Amen.
Praise God for loving me even when I'm in my own weakness.
Yes. He sees you. He sees you. I praise God that he doesn't shrink back from me when I shrink back from him.